Content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon Central Time where we are, 1 p.m. on the East Coast where Stephen Warrior is. Yeah, see, that's funny because my last name is Krieger, and in German that means warrior. So we have two warriors on the phone with you on Skype, actually. For those of you who want to watch us on the replay on Rumble, I seriously encourage you because we are going to have some very interesting conversation today about the way our government behaves in such a clandestine manner. Stephen Warrior, by the way, is the founder and CEO of Warden Protection Services. This is a company that was established in 2020. It specializes in private security solutions. Under his leadership, Warden Protection Services has quickly achieved significant growth, surpassing $700,000 in annual revenue. That's pretty huge for a protection service. It's a federal contractor, currently has a contract with the state of Florida. Wow, this is huge. Stephen brings a wealth of expertise to the security industry, drawing on his background in military intel of security and tech, right? With both the NSA and the CIA as part of his service in the Air Force, and then later as his tenure as a Clearwater police officer. Well, I'm glad you didn't pull me over on Gulf to Bay Boulevard, because I've been there a couple of times. Stephen Warrior, welcome to the show.
How are you doing? It's good to hear everybody today. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the security issues in this country, and what were the questions you had?
Well, you know, beyond leading Warden Protection Services, you created this for a reason, because you saw a need, first off, because I want to cover that. People need to know your background, because it's the first time you've been on the show. And so I really want to know about your background and why you started this company. I mean, obviously, Stephen, there was a reason why you started it, because you felt there was a need, and all of a sudden now you're hooked up with the state of Florida. Explain how that all happened.
That's a great question. So I grew up in Clearwater, and I actually went to Clearwater High School JROTC. They had a Marine Corps JROTC program, and that is kind of what started my introduction into private security. I mean, just as simple as just being a football game parking attendant, make sure people park correctly and nobody's throwing, you know, things in the game. Then I obviously ended up joining the military. At that time, I was thinking about joining the Marine Corps because that's, you know, naturally your instinct when you're, you know, a young man in the JROTC. So what I ended up going into is St. Pete College, like a lot of people locally in my area. And thankfully, I was able to take some more advanced courses, and I did very well on the ASVAB. I also grew up as a devout Christian, and in that process of my life, I never really touched drugs, and I had good credit. So when you go join the military and you have the ability to pass a background check and you score a little bit better on math and reading, you pretty much get dumped into intel, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, amazing how that works, huh?
Yeah. So I actually originally joined to want to be a firefighter. I thought I was going to do 20 years and just make chili and have a nice mustache. So what ended up really shocking me was, base training, they said, you have a choice between imagery intelligence or signals. And I thought listening to something on headphones would be more interesting than looking at pictures all day. So that's where I ended up going into military intelligence as a signals intelligence analyst. I got trained out in Pensacola, Florida. There's a particular place out there we train at. It was a lot of math. So the irony is I was kind of trying to avoid math and then ended up getting involved with a lot more math when you do cryptology. And then I was surprised that I got stationed at the NSA. Specifically, they don't station you at the NSA. They don't say that. Your orders will say Fort Meade, Maryland. So that's where I was stationed as the 29th Intelligence Squadron, then moved over to the 32nd Intelligence Squadron there. Everyone there is like most veterans. They're wonderful people. They come to join for a lot of really good reasons, because when you're meeting people who can qualify top secret clearance, they're as American as they come. literally. I mean, there's very rarely you meet a foreigner because you work with classified information. The thing that moves forward is that you don't realize how much compartmentalization there is at the NSA. So you don't necessarily even always know what you're doing. You just know the piece that you're asked to do. To try to explain what I mean by that is, let's say someone got a job working at McDonald's. You don't know how everything about McDonald's. You just know your job is to make the fries. And that's it. Make the fries. Or the other person's job is to, grill the meat. But in the end, the collective effort of the team makes an entire meal. In less than 2 minutes, you're out the window. So I was fortunate near the end of my time. So I joined 2008, 2012. And I actually got to work at the National Security Operations Center. It's called NSOC. It is the best way to describe that is all the information around cryptology goes and flows into one particular watch floor. And that's the National Security Operations Center. So because of that, I actually was able to see a lot of global, I guess you would say, final product of what everything is collected at. These are the individuals who work inside NSOC who are literally have access to like the red phone. And actually, there's a red fax machine.
Oh, you got to love that.
I mean, yeah.
There's
nothing
color-coded about this job, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So in that sense, it was really interesting. And you learn a lot. I mean, there truly are some most remarkable people working there. I met people with 3 PhDs. I mean, just high-level and intelligent thinkers, the best you can really offer in this industry. My job specifically was we do things called force protection, where we keep soldiers safe using certain techniques. But the things as time goes on, you start recognizing that, like we mentioned stuff like Snowden, there are certain things that make you go, hey, what level of training are we doing here to make sure we're not violating the Constitution? And they do. They give us annual training that you're required to have at the NSA, and a lot of us did that. But at the same time as and again, you're a young man. You don't know much about the Constitution outside of what little you learned in high school. So as you go on, you later learn as an adult when you grow up and leave the NSA, if you will, that there were certain things you felt, realized, hey, maybe that wasn't exactly what I should have been or have been doing. Because there was like concepts that as we later learned that didn't seem to fully work with the Constitution, let's just say. So, and because of that, there were people who worked at the NSA who felt a way Edward Snowden felt was not necessarily totally wrong. But at the end of the day, there are very real threats. There are very real people trying to kill everyone out here. So we're working our best to keep the country safe. Not saying that excuses any violation of policies or anything like that. But ultimately, it's how some people felt about it a little bit.
All right, I'm not going to dig totally into Edward Snowden. I mean, I know he's living in Russia now, and they've granted him asylum. Exactly. And I know the U.S. would love to get their hands on him and try him for treason and all this other stuff. But on the other hand, you have this certain faction both inside and outside of the NSA that is basically hailing him a hero. I mean, that's the opinion. And I know that you can't do a top-down discussion on that because of the fact that you'd be revealing things inside the agency you can't. And when you left the agency, you would keep certain things undisclosed at that point, which is why I didn't want to bring them up. Yeah. And I won't ask you to do that. I don't want you to divulge any military secrets or anything that's going on, because that is important. And we don't want to expose unnecessary things. I understand that, having been an Army security agency. But understanding the situation that you have confronted, there were things inside the agency that, you later came to find out were not so capricious, as it were, as far as the Constitution goes. And we talk about the Constitution a lot. The biggest thing that I think most Americans are worried about is the surveillance state, and what, aside from what Snowden revealed, we have a lot of people out there, and I'm not calling them tinfoil hat wearers, but I'm just saying that there's this uncomfortable feeling that there's a lot more surveillance going on and a lot more violation of FISA warrants than, meets the eye. And a lot of people are freaking out about it. I know we have an attorney in D.C. named John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute that's been litigating a lot of these things. And so this is a big concern to a lot of us, is how much spying is actually going on Americans, not so much You know, well, if you have somebody over in Russia that you're talking to on the phone, we're listening. So obviously, mm-hmm. you know, they monitored what you were doing when you were on the floor, so to speak, just to make sure that things were capiche as far as your compartmentalized thing. But you said that you were exposed to, I guess, a lot much bigger picture, which led you to believe that some people kind of strayed out of their lane, so to speak, and that, you know, you kind of formulated your own ideas and opinions from that. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just like when you're in law enforcement, you work your hardest to follow exactly the policy. But if you're honest, just like a person with a driver's license, do you always follow the traffic laws?
So yeah, you know, that's why you were people, a cop and you were pulling people over and giving them speeding tickets because they didn't follow the law, right?
Yeah, I think at the core of it, everyone's trying their best to just keep the country safe. The component that I later learned in law enforcement is this concept of knowingly and intentionally, right? How many people, like myself, being a young 18, 19-year-old in the military kind of thing, how much do I really know? How much am I intentionally doing, right? So that's what I mean by that. So people are doing their best to follow the Constitution, but there are people who I think are blatantly lying, right? And we've seen some of the different people go under oath in Congress that we know that later on they just seem to be lying. So, but with that said, I mean, that was part of the reason why I actually left the NSA, because you're asking the original question, why did I get into private security? And because I was offered $215,000 a year with just a high school education and 4 years of military training. And of course, an active clearance, that's a big deal to have. $215,000 a year in 2012, that's what, today's inflation, $430,000 a year maybe?
That's good news.
So it's a lot of money. So why did I walk away from that? And in fact, it's interesting because a lot of people like me who worked in those agencies were like less than 1% of the population. There's more people with PhDs than top secret clearances. So it's rare to meet one of us, quite frankly. And so when you meet one of us, it's hard to even get us to talk because half the time we still work for those organizations, and that's a $415,000 a year today's current job, right? If that's what they're paying. I mean, I don't know. Everyone else pays differently. I'm just saying that it's no one wants to lose their jobs, and we all have families to feed, and we care about our country. So it's a, like a perfect situation for someone who gets that opportunity. So why'd I quit it? Because I felt that there are certain things we were doing collectively as a society that didn't make sense. Simply put, like the Afghan war, there was a document that came out that showed that ultimately we were not going to win the war. Not because we couldn't, obviously, every single battle we won. It's the issue that we weren't strategically putting enough effort into it, that there wasn't a clear goal for Afghanistan. So if I go to Afghanistan to make my $215,000 a year at that time, is it because we're here to win the war? Is it really because I'm here to just get a paycheck? And for that kind of money, you know, what could our society do with it, right? I'm a big believer in Habitat for Humanity. If we put that kind of money into a federal program or building homes for people my generation or even the next generation behind me, and they're buying homes and they're having families and having more children, I mean, that's a better thing for the economy long term than just more bombs and war. So, but I still care about my country. I still care about security because that's what I've been trained to do. And so I got out and I ended up becoming a law enforcement officer in Clearwater because I felt, let me take my national security experience and bring it local. And I did. After about a period of time, worked for Clearwater PD. And then for the record, they're phenomenal. I mean, they are one of the best police departments, I think, in the country, let alone just the state of Florida.
You gotta love Pinellas County.
Pinellas County.
Beautiful area.
People, yeah, who don't know this, there's a lot of it's a very big metropolis in the sense that there's Pinellas County's got over like a million people. Hillsborough County has over like a million people, so there's a lot of law enforcement inside that county sheriff departments, in addition to their city law enforcement. And Clearwater is one of them leading the charge, no doubt about it. So everyone out there who's doing it. I mean, they don't take anybody but some of the best. And even if you're really good, they still probably kick you out if you can't keep up.
I like Bob Galtieri. I really do. Yeah. I really do not. Chad Cronister, I don't know, not as much. But Bob Galtieri I always liked and respected. And I am a member of the Florida Sheriff's Association, have been since 2012, since you got out. Anyway, you know, having been a resident of Florida, you know, we know that. and we know just how good FSA really is. So anyway, aside from that, now you have a contract with the state of Florida. Did you go to them or did they come to you, realizing
what
you knew?
Great question. So in private security, it's capitalism at the end of the day, right? So how do you get your clients? How do you bring your name out there and show that you offer services? There's two ways about it, obviously being a major component of just paying for advertising, Google, being on the top search results. Like if you Googled private security company while in Florida or Tampa Bay specifically, my company pops up as number one. So it helps us reach out to a lot of just different private contact or clients. In addition to that, we to work with some of the big corporations or the state or county, they have vendors lists. So you're supposed to sign up and prove that you're legitimate as a business. There's a lot of private security companies in the state of Florida. I mean, there's something like 3,500 of them. Most of them are not led by prior law enforcement, prior military, or college educated. They're normally somebody who's just, you know, does a lot of push-ups and knows a lot about, you know, some aspects of security. They're not very professional, and so they end up not making the cut when it comes to filling out these vendors lists, taking the time to show that they have active workers' compensation insurance, and all the other things listed that's necessary to be qualified to become a state contractor. So how that got involved is they actually reached out to us, ironically, so we filled out the state stuff, but then they reached out to us looking to at that time, I don't want to say the client's name to be polite, because there's different components of the government that, you know, we contract with, every county, state, different ones. But they reached out to us because they were having an issue where they always work with a county sheriff. The county sheriff does a great job. Problem is the county sheriff has been understaffed, right, in different areas. And even though one county particular sheriff can do great in this particular piece of the county, two counties north of it, they are still understaffed. And so when they're asking for the county to show up and they're paying for the extra duty officer to arrive, they don't have to arrive. They're just they're asked to arrive. So often these organizations are underserved for their security needs from the sheriff department, for the extra duty officers. And that's where private security has been coming in, at least in this particular instance. We're able to provide guaranteed service because they're the only client we have, right? A sheriff obviously has to worry about their 911 calls. They also have to worry about greater, more important issues on the hierarchy of need. They have calls to service. And extra duty hours is not always a higher priority. So private security fills that void, and that's what we've been doing for the state of Florida in different aspects.
So when you say different aspects, I mean, we're talking about the fact that you actually provide boots on the ground for additional support, and they answer to the sheriff's deputies and the officers that are on site, right?
Yeah, pretty close. We are the actual armed uniform officer on site, and there is no sheriff deputy present.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is almost kind of like Blackwater, but it's not. It's a little more civil than Blackwater, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to tell you guys. You guys aren't mercenaries. I get that. Yeah. All right. I get that.
Yeah. Big difference, paramilitary and parapolice kind of thing. Like we're private security, not private military.
All right. Now, this is the thing. And I'm so glad you came on the show, because people need to understand how you operate. Because, I mean, we just had a golfer up in Atlanta get arrested for running. You know, you read that thing that happened to Scottie Scheffler, and now they're saying the detective screwed up when they arrested him. I mean, this whole thing has just turned out to be a joke. But the thing is that with all of this defund the police garbage going on right now, which is probably one of the reasons why some of these places are understaffed because of budgets, and you've got all these politicians. I mean, it's all turned political. You've got NGOs in here, trafficking and everything else. I mean, you have become aware of a lot of situations, especially in the state of Florida, because it is one of those states that's like a number three in child trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's been a lot of concerns on that. Does the state of Florida ever consult with you on any of these situations out there where some of these political issues have come to the forefront?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I have been called in, not specifically for the state of Florida, but for others as a subject matter expert, asking questions on how to resolve some of these issues. The state of Florida does have a lot of good public security safety individuals from, you know, like we know Grady Judge in Polk County, for example. There's a lot of fantastic ones out here, not including the fact that there's still the FBI. There's still, you know, major components of the federal government that works out here. So I'm more than welcome to go out there and help them answer their questions. But often they just use their active government officials, because every police department has but large enough police departments have a officer whose job is to go train with the FBI and work as a liaison with to make sure they're staying up to date for the most serious cases like that, and that there's cross communication and teamwork to make sure that a particular organized crime that's going on in Miami, even though they might drive to Tampa, Miami PD needs to be in conversation with Tampa PD or Clearwater PD and things of that nature. So there's a lot of that going on, the way they try to solve those bigger issues.
Right. Have you trained with the FBI as a result of this, what you just talked about?
No, I personally never trained with the FBI. I've trained NSA and I work for the CIA.
Okay, now what did you do? What was your capacity? If you can talk about that, at least just describe what you did when you were affiliated with the CIA.
So the way it works is the major component difference between the NSA and the CIA is the NSA is, like they say, the puzzle palace, right? We are the code breakers. We're the ones who invent all the technology that allows the surveillance of foreigners and of other things of that nature through technology. It's the CIA asking, can we use your tools now when you're done with at the CIA, at the NSA, inventing it? So it's not the CIA that's out there actually collecting the information. They're the ones actively using it, if that makes more sense. So we go out there and build infrastructure, make sure that the CIA can get the information they need so they can run their missions. So often they'll task us at the NSA to get that accomplished for them.
So, you know, every time I talk to somebody that's been affiliated with either of these two agencies, I can't help think of that movie, Enemy of the State. I'm sure you've seen it. You know, Will Smith and Gene Hackman. It's like, you've got something they want. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is really, it creeps me out sometimes to realize when Gene Hackman is sitting in there plugging in tapes in his little jar that he calls it, you know, and it's completely screened from outside communications, and he's describing about surveillance state and how it works and how they've had this since the 40s. It's just like, wow, they've used our own tax dollars against us. Have you come to that realization?
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that. The Enemy of the State came out when I was around, I would say 12 years old, something like that, 12, 13. And I grew up at that little piece of time. We were living in Largo. And there were different drug dealers in my neighborhood. And I remember as a kid thinking, like, that was such a cool movie. So I want to be a spy. I remember thinking that. So I would write down the license plate numbers of cars that were circling at 1 in the morning. And my theory was to tell the local police afterwards. Like, these are probably the drug dealers, right? And my friend and I got a bright idea because, again, we're dumb teenagers. We climbed to the top of this roof of the church next to us so we can get a better view. And someone called the police on us.
Oh, no. See, what are you doing burglars up here? Taking down license plate numbers.
So the irony that night is Largo PD grabbed two teenagers on top of a church with a notebook full of license plates. So that was but the irony, and then the beauty was I ended up working for the NSA. So it's like what you speak is what you become. So it's also a valuable lesson in life, I think.
What I'm curious about, though, Stephen, is what Largo PD said when they saw that list of license plate numbers and what your intentions were, whether they got a big chuckle out of that or not.
Oh, yeah, they laughed. They laughed. and to make it worse, we were dressed in all black, like, you know, your class of spies, black jeans, black shirt. It was silly. Yeah.
Oh, that's a stitch. I'm telling you, folks, who'd have thunk? You know, I mean, it's like you're nefarious until you can actually show the goods. Now here you are doing surveillance work. Now, did the cops take your list and make any use of that?
No, I'm sure that probably just sat on a dashboard and that was about it.
That's funny. See, here's the stories we talk about as far as private security, but I really want to get into some deeper subject matter here because you have these contracts and you serve as liaisons. And this is a thing that people need to understand when it comes to private security. We've all these politicians out there that sit there and say defund the police, but they got their own private security. Are you guys providing private security for politicians as well?
Yeah, we've actually have provided private security. Armed. When I say this specifically, I'm talking about armed security. So I know the law of morale sometimes anti-firearms, but they're not asking for unarmed security in these situations.
Yeah.
So, but yes, there are people we've actually done security who have connections in Washington to be polite about in this situation here. So they're nationally known. They are and they have very real threats against them. There was one particular person we were working with, and he was actively getting phone calls with people saying, "I'm going to kill you," in the middle of our executive protection detail. So these are real threats. There's really some stuff going on in the country, which kind of brings into an important subject. We talked about civil unrest later. But yeah, we've done armed protection for these individuals, correct?
And these are Congress people, state and federal?
Yes. So, and what's
I'm not asking you to divulge your list. We don't want to give away the store here.
Yeah. No, it's actually an important part too, is we never tell anybody much about our clients, because that's out of respect for our clients. So, but the thing to think about is law enforcement has jurisdictions, right? So if you're a phenomenal law enforcement officer in Miami or in Tampa, your jurisdiction ends at the end of that city limit. So what's unique about private security is guys like myself who are part of law enforcement or even have levels of training beyond that, we can go statewide. In fact, security companies have multiple state contracts, and we're able to go into other cities and other states across the country and continue that protection detail. And we're also specifically assigned to just that client. So there's a guarantee we're going to be there. And that's something that is valuable, especially when someone has very legitimate threats against an individual.
Have you ever defeated those threats directly? Have any of your teams that are out there guarding these individuals actually stopped something from happening?
Correct. So I did do some exec protection for a news agency, and we did actively find people with firearms around them during different parts of protest, and we were able to get those removed. But I would say this is something I've learned about private security, especially working from the NSA side of it. The best security is this part that you don't even see. That's why my logo is an owl. It moves silently. It sees things you can't see. And that's the goal. We're trying to not even be obviously security. It looks like a person just in a polo shirt and blue jeans. You had no idea we were carrying. You had no idea that was my protectee. I'm not trying to make a big scene here. And that's one of the best ways to be protected, is to get in and out unseen, so you don't have to deal with a threat.
Right. Well, see, and that's the thing about you. You were talking about protests, and you mentioned those two. There seems to be a lot of these, especially on college campuses. Have you had to deal with that?
As of today, no. It's actually, from a business standpoint, believe it or not, not the best contract to take on that contract from a client, because our insurance as a private business has to deal with any claims. So anybody gets pepper sprayed or hurts their wrists or ankles on that campus could hit our insurance, and that could actually cost us more money down the line than it was worth for that one weekend or month we took that particular college on. But we would still do it. At the end of the day, people's public safety is most important. You would just have to have good policies and good training in place to make sure it makes sense for everybody involved.
There you go. All right, we're going to be back with Stephen Warrior after these important messages from the Power Hour and the Power Mall. And we'll talk about your own matter of security and what you can do in the event of civil unrest. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com. Or call 877-817-8255. 9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, where we are on the East Coast, it's 33 minutes after 1, where Stephen Warrior is. He's been conversing with us here this past half hour on his background as far as security, what he's done as a Clearwater police officer. Stephen, welcome back to the show. I want to get into what is probably the utmost concern. There's a lot of people out there that would just, you know, soon just capitulate to whatever comes to their doorstep. And this is a thing that we're trying to avoid. I know there's people like Grady Judd, who I have a lot of respect for, and I've tried to get him on the show and he won't come on. And I'm like, oh, come on. You can't be that busy that you can't talk to us. So, I mean, you are literally, I mean, I know you hold him in high regard, as do I. And I know that he has said that if these people come to their door and they try to kick their door in, to shoot them in the head, not the arm, not the leg. I mean, I've had peace officers and constables in Texas tell, you know, people I've talked to the same thing, that your car, your lot, your private, whatever area you have fenced in is your domain and you have the right to stand your ground. In Florida, that's a big thing. Stand your ground law is huge. There have been, I know Bob Galtieri has And Pinellas County has stepped in on a lot of occasions and basically said, I'm not going to prosecute this guy because he stood his ground. He was defending himself. He was defending somebody else, his family, whatever, in a shooting and, you know, incident where a firearm was involved. And I know that now Florida has passed laws. It seems like they're really trying to keep up with Texas. They now have constitutional carry on the books. As a private security enforcement officer, and we're going to be taking your phone calls, folks, if you have questions, this is the time to chime in because you're talking to somebody that is ex-law enforcement, that runs a private security firm that can actually help you make the right decision when times call for it. This is something that, you know, I don't want people going off half-cocked. Some of us have USCCA insurance. I know this stuff is not cheap. They have attorneys that will come out and represent you, but they're like every other insurance policy, certain limitations, things they won't cover. And so these are the things. This is why we need to be smart about this. So, Stephen, welcome back to the show for starters.
Thank you.
I got to ask you, you know, the stand your ground and castle doctrine. As a law enforcement officer or somebody that's been in and filled those shoes, where do you stand on all of these policies? I mean, this is, you know, how would you relay what you know as a law enforcement officer to the average individual on the street that's got to do the right thing when times call for it?
Yeah. My honest opinion of it is I'm thankful that I live in a state that's still rational about self-defense.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I was a Christian conservative and went to Washington, D.C. and came back liberal. So there's a real concern about, obviously, and we all know this, about how liberal education is and how much it does influence you as you're young. And I came back a bit of a Bernie Sanders, less guns kind of individual. No joke. And then I became a law enforcement officer. And I actually actually went to law enforcement academy. I graduated the top of my class. I got top shooter. I never miss a single shot. And I'm currently a NRA law enforcement shooting instructor, certified in handgun and shotgun. And I'm an excellent marksman. And it's difficult to hit just an arm. It's difficult to hit just a leg. So, you know, knowing that, and I go into the real world as a law enforcement officer and experience what it means to see violence, not in the movies, but short thinking, tunnel vision, your heart rate's up. You don't have time to think. And it made me realize how foolish I was. And that's good. I'm humble enough to admit that, right? And that's how you continue to learn in life. That also made me realize how many times I went to a 911 service call and the victim was hysterically crying after they finished calling 911, meaning the attack already happened. I mean, they were able to compose themselves enough to be able to call 911 and remember their address. Then we showed up 15 minutes later, or maybe three, depending on how good our time was. That's a lot of violence a person can commit on you while you're waiting for law enforcement to come save you. So my attitude realistically changed and said, hey, even the best state like Florida that, you know, we have a lot more law enforcement percentages compared to, like, say, California. We have a much better response time than, say, other states. And we still don't get there very fast at times. So my advice to everyone is you need to buy a firearm. You need to practice your constitutional right to carry. And you need to absolutely train with that firearm. And I don't mean just train that you're able to hit a piece of paper in the center like we do at the shooting range. I mean combat shooting, the concept of being able to have a high-risk critical thinking in that moment to distinguish between friend or foe, to distinguish between if that person's still a threat or not, because the legality of it, to stop yourself from being able to just pull out that gun and shoot, I mean, that's honestly fairly the easiest part. It's, was it the right time to shoot? Did you shoot correctly? Did you pay attention to the type of ammunition you had? And did it go anywhere else and hurt other people? And still, even though you may have saved your life, now you have a massive lawsuit because you shot the side of a $1 million work truck somewhere, right? So it's also important to carry insurance, as you mentioned earlier. So you're able to protect yourself in that. But I think the stand your ground law makes a lot of sense in this state. I think at the end of the day, you know, people also don't understand how much power we have in this state when it comes to protecting property. There's this, and again, I'm not a lawyer, and this isn't legal advice, right? But ultimately, the state of Florida allows you to remove people from your property, right? I'm not saying a threat of deadly force or anything like that at all. I'm just simply saying, if a person's on your property and you're telling them to leave and they refuse to leave, you have the right to remove them from your property. If they've been trespassed before, you still have the right to do that as well. Even detain them in theory and wait till law enforcement arrives to make sure they get a criminal charge for that violation of the already recorded trespass. And that's also kind of bleeds into like one of the things private security does a lot of, retail theft, right? There's a lot of people who are coming into different retail stores stealing. In fact, front page is news today, right now on CNN or the Communist News Network, as they say, is actually about the organized crime of retail in California and how it's become this massive artificial intelligence investigation apparatus that private security has created to break apart these different organized crimes and how much retail theft that's going on. And we're being hit with that heavy here in Florida. So when it comes to these types of laws and a private security officer's license, we have the ability to legally detain a person for theft. A lot of people don't know that. We can literally handcuff you, wait until law enforcement arrives, and have charges pressed. And in addition to that, you know, we also have the ability to physically remove people from property, especially if they've already violated that trespass. So, and these are special rules and powers that we get in private security. We just get certain protections in it. But at the end of the day, even you, a private business owner, you have the right to detain a person who's stealing on from your property. Or even if someone's on your property and you see them coming out of your house with your TV, you have the right to stop them and detain them, ultimately, until law enforcement come and you know, finish the rest of it. So, and that's a great thing to have in our state. That's the reason we have lower crimes compared to other states. My biggest concern is the state prosecutors following through with the prosecution. Right. That's the
Big part.
There needs to be consequences.
Well, that's the thing, too, because these blue state cities, it's real tough. And I know Tampa, there's always issues when you have Soros-backed prosecutors there. I'm not going to, you know, get into the political aspect of it. But, you know, the average person out there, every time that they confront a situation like this, and I know that you were talking about retail theft, and that's huge. There's a lot of stores out there that we call woke, like Home Depot, and they tell you, okay, don't. Whatever it is, don't try to arrest or stop the people taking stuff out of the store. But I know that they just busted a ring that was taking large implements like backhoes and front loaders and all sorts of stuff off Home Depot parking lots and then trying to sell them on the open market. And the whole ring just got busted in Central Florida on that. I do pay a lot of attention to what's going on. How do you counter? I mean, a lot of these people that are trying to save these retail stores from theft and trying to stop these people, they ended up losing their jobs.
Yeah.
I don't get the equation.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate thing where some of the laws are currently created. It kind of depends on the state you're in. So like I could be offered the biggest opportunities in California. I wouldn't take it because of the way they currently implement their laws. It seems more of a liability to do security outside of executive protection in California, especially if related to retail. But the state of Florida has done a really good job so far. Ron DeSantis even passed new laws to turn things into felonies faster. Like if a person has committed retail theft, it previously was like this. If you committed retail theft two previous times, regardless of the amount, the third time became a felony. Well, that's still the standard now. But in addition to that, if a person's committed retail theft and then less than, I think, 90 days, the second time it automatically becomes a felony. So they're pushing harder to really have consequences in the state. And so to answer your question, I mean, yeah, it's great to have a private security officer that's present, that's well-trained, understands when they can and cannot do a certain thing in relation to that. And that does deter, especially if they're in a good uniform, very visibly present in the front of the store, things like that. But let's be honest. There are some people who are hardened criminals who we've dealt with the homeless who are not mentally completely coherent at times. So coming into a store and just stealing deli meat and walking out, there's not much consequence to them as far as their concern about, you know, going to jail. It's almost like an opportunity to take a shower and be out in a week.
You get three hots and a cot. Yeah.
Yeah. So the state has to come up with reasonable solutions to all of it. If, you know, and again, I'm not saying the solution is putting a homeless man with mental health issues in jail is the solution either. I think there needs to be more mental health, you know, services related to that. But there has to be consequences, and that comes down to good state policy or county policy being consistently enforced, because this is the realistic scenario, and I've seen it in across the state, because we have contracts across the state, and some counties do a really bad job in enforcing it. Unfortunately, places like Pinellas County and Hillsborough do actually a pretty good job at it. You never realize how good it is until you go to some of these other places and go, it's actually worse than other places in the state. But I'll say, for example, nothing's more disheartening to a security officer who has got somebody who has just committed, by definition, a robbery. Person walks in with a backpack, puts hamburger meat in the backpack, says, get out of my way or I'll kill you. Now, they never did produce the weapon, but they said this. And this actually scares the cashier because they don't know if they have a weapon or not. The cashier walks away. By definition, by taking of a product or a property that has value from a person and knowingly intentionally doing this and reasonably putting fear in them, whether it's through a physical act of touching or the threat of use of it, by definition is a robbery. You don't always have to produce a weapon to do that. So here we are now, a private security officer, well-educated in it, understands they're not just dealing with a retail theft here or just a trespass. They now have a robbery on their hands. In fact, this person pushes the security officer out the way to try to get out that front door. Now you have a battery on a Leo, but based on our state laws, a private security officer's license while on duty who's been battered gets a bat Leo felony charge on the individual who touches them. So you have a robbery, you have a bat Leo, you have a trespass or a criminal trespass, depending on how you want to define it. That needs to be enforced. But when you call 911, this person's detained in handcuffs, law enforcement arrives, and they don't agree with the security officer. And they go, we just got a retail theft, and this is local Joe, we're going to let him out. Then that person will be back tomorrow talking as much as he wants to that security officer, who now lost all hope that there's any situation he can resolve here. And then normally they quit within like 2 weeks because they're embarrassed. Because yeah, they go, I put all that work in, and now local Joe is going to come back and do it on get every Tuesday. So what's his motivation?
What's really funny, though, it wasn't at St. Pete where the city council was voting to send a social worker out to 911 domestic disturbance calls. I'm like, oh, that's just great. This is where you probably see more gun violence, and it turns into a hostage situation, and you're going to send a social worker out. Jeez, what is going on here? I mean, you remember when all that went down, right?
Yeah, there's some good argument as to why social workers can help a lot, but there should still be a law enforcement officer present, I think, in that situation, because especially domestic, they're the worst. The two most common things that are taking law enforcement officers' lives is definitely a domestic-related call service, and then, of course, traffic stops. And they think we can just sub that completely out to some social worker is honestly just somebody who's not paying attention to the statistics, I think, on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff in North Carolina, you're ex-military. You're on the phone with Stephen Warrior. What's your question?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, hey, hello to your guests there. I just have a couple comments. I just wanted to get his view on something. I was first off, I wanted to say something about Grady Judd down there. I lived in Florida for a long time, and I heard him say a while back that he thinks right now everybody should have a gun. And the thing about it is I was just talking to a good friend about the type of crime that's being committed right now. It's totally different from, back in the day. I'm in my 60s, and back in the day you'd have crime, but it wasn't as bold-faced, in your face. I mean, the stuff going on, I just want to get your view on this stuff, sir, real quick, what you think about this. Like, the type of crime, like for instance, one guy, there was a car going through a drive-through, bumped this other car at a fast food. A guy gets out, and the guy behind runs over the guy and kills him. You know, a lady walking down the street in Chicago, a 60-year-old lady walking down the street, a car pulls up, and these two guys get out, beat her up and steal her purse. And, there was a lady in Florida I'm sure you knew about that, I think in the Tampa area, belted her son's hands behind his back and threw him in a pool and killed him. I just wanted to get your opinion on this stuff going on right now. It absolutely blows the mind. So I appreciate the time, David. Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Okay, Jeff, I appreciate that. See, and this is the thing. We're looking at more escalation of violence, and this is the thing. We constantly are reading headlines, and Steve and I could literally, with all of these illegal immigrants, which Biden and their administration has led into the country by opening our southern borders and our northern borders, and now we have a thing with all the Haitians and everybody else coming across, and the boat people, we call them, but you have all of that landing on there, and DeSantis has his hands full capturing all of those boats and sending them back. But the problem is a lot of them that are gotaways get into the state of Florida, as in other places, and we the people have to know how to deal with this thing. The number of rapes, murders, thefts, all this stuff is escalating, and as a security service type of a person. How does the average Joe, besides arming themselves and learning how to shoot these things, there is a certain standard or a certain law that people need to be aware of. Like Arkansas, for example, removed their duty to retreat portion of their statute now to where you don't have to run and hide in a closet and wait for them to come to you before you shoot them. The peace officer I talked to in Texas, who highly is, you know, I respect as a law enforcement officer, told me, look, if they come at you in aggressive and affirmative manner, you have the right to shoot them if you feel like your life is threatened. I always have used the threshold rule, and now the ATF is in Washington, D.C., dealing with, and their director, Stephen Dettelbach, is supposed to be answering questions before Jim Jordan today on what went wrong with the Malinowski murder, and that's what I call it. They didn't bother to, they bash in his front door at 6 o'clock in the morning, wake the guy up out of a sound sleep. He thinks he's being home invaded. He grabs his gun. They shoot him in the head. They exchange gunfire. He shoots at the ground trying to deter them. They shoot him in the head and they kill him. And they're serving a search warrant. I mean, these are the things. Doesn't law enforcement have to identify themselves if they're not in hot pursuit? I mean, people need to understand the difference between how you identify in hot pursuit versus what they did, which they covered up as Ring cameras so that nobody could see what they were doing. They weren't wearing body cams. They came in, burst in the front door, made it look like a home invasion, didn't announce who they were, weren't wearing body cams, violated all sorts of policy. I mean, this is the sort of stuff. It's not just the illegal immigrants that we're worried about that could turn into have-nots and kick in people's front door to take things that don't belong to them, including your wife and her virginity, you know, whatever, your daughter's virginity. I mean, whatever they want. I mean, they just think they get emboldened. Like you said, these people will come in and they will confront private security in retail and just say, ha, I can get away with it. I did it yesterday. And so, I mean, the average person out there, you're trying to defend yourself. And I've always used the threshold rule. If they cross that threshold unannounced, they're dead meat. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Jeff. And, there's a lot to be unpacked on all that. So
I know it is. That's why, I have you on the show to unpack it for me. So go ahead.
Yeah, no. So just starting overall, actually, if you look at FBI trends, crime in theory has been collectively going down, even though there has been an uptick since COVID. And also the question is defining that type of crime. So like, for example, white-collar crimes, have they gone up? And while murder maybe has gone down a particular type. So, it just kind of depends on the very specifics of it. And also if it's all accurately being recorded, right? If somebody's a illegal immigrant, if that's the right term for it these days. But are they likely to call the police and say, I've been robbed, for us to even know that was recorded? Which is why some states or cities try to implement the safe zones for there's a specific term for it, but it's a location where they're not going to deport someone if they call the police, because at least if that immigrant's a victim of a crime, they're more likely to say, hey, I can give you a specific example, like for out in Clearwater, right? They worked hard with the local immigrant population, created a whole Spanish-speaking team from officers who didn't even speak Spanish, and went into that community and just started having barbecues a little bit, like getting to know them. And it took about a year until people began to feel comfortable with law enforcement knocking on their door, because from the countries they're from, they're used to law enforcement treating them like just a shakedown.
Criminals,
correct. And so when that relationship was formed, that community began to say, hey, by the way, my daughter was taken by the Mexican cartel. And then law enforcement was able to say, well, what's the address? And then we were able to get them out of there. we were able to solve that problem. So not saying that's the perfect solution, that, hey, there should be zero consequences for illegal immigration. There should be consequences. But at the same time, that's not, I think, the best solution for local law enforcement. We're just worried about getting the Sinaloa cartel out of Clearwater if they're there, right? So at the end of the day, like, that's a good relationship to build, because most immigrants, if you actually look at it, don't want to be deported. They want to stay where they are so they can make money, and they commit actually very little crimes, less crimes than the average American. However, because of the sheer volume of total people coming, even just a 1% of them, if they're not following the law, it's still a big bump in crime, right? So that's where we're seeing these, you know, very front page stories on national news about this person should have been never in the country because they were on some watch list. And that's true. There should be better border security because of that. But overall, you know, most immigrants don't commit most crimes. More Americans tend to commit more crimes than the average immigrant. But with that stated, what can we do to protect yourself? Now, I look at it like this. I've actually traveled so far about 16 countries. One of my favorite countries to hang out with is in Colombia. It's actually where my wife is from. And one of the things I've noticed is the lack of physical security within homes, the lack of bars on windows, the lack of metal doors. I'm not saying that's the perfect solution, but if you're difficult to get into your home, people aren't going to commit as many crimes. And I think that's a simple solution that doesn't require a firearm, doesn't require anything other than just hardening your homes and making yourself a harder target. Because I don't think we're going to solve all of our solutions in our country, quite frankly. Okay. I think we're going to continue to see the erosion of the middle class and an increase in crime as time goes on.
Wow. Warning on the wall there, Stephen Warrior. Thank you so much. We're out of time for this segment, but hey, we got a lot out of there, and it was painless. See, we didn't expose any of the back stuff that people are so paranoid about. Yep. But hey, that's all right. At least here's the idea. You know, harden your surroundings. That helps. Be awake, be alert, all that good stuff. Thank you, sir, for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. It's a good time.
Warden Protection Services. It's wardenprotection.com is the website. We will be back tomorrow with a Friday edition. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.